I'm going to ask Daniel to come at this time, and in just a moment, we're going to distribute the bread. But before we do, I've asked Daniel to come and read John chapter 19. And of course, John 19 is the scripture that gives us the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And again, you know, it's a longer section of scripture, but I think it's important for us to read this together and think about it. In place of a message, this is kind of what we're doing tonight. So, Brother Daniel, if you would.
All right, John 19. John 19, beautiful chapter here. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, 'I thirst.' Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled: a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as a manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, where it was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand.
All right, I appreciate that very, very much. And at this time, I'm going to ask the men to come, and we will distribute the bread here. What we're going to do, even before we distribute the bread, is we're going to pray, and I'll ask Brother Cattells, if you would, to go ahead and pray over the bread, and then we'll distribute it right after that. While you pray over the bread, would you thank the Lord Jesus for giving his body for us, if you would, please?
Father, we just thank you and praise you that you did give of your body. Father, that this was not just a spiritual thing, but it was a physical death, Lord, that you suffered for us. And Lord, then it was a spiritual as well, Lord, that you suffered an eternity in hell for each person that puts their trust in thee. And Father, as we partake of this, Lord, let us be mindful of the fact that you've called us, Lord, to die to ourselves and then to be alive unto you. And Lord, that we might be found in that way, Lord, for all our life that you give us here. Father, we thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, and so we have here the bread. The men are going to distribute it. If we could do this, if we could just hold on to it, and we will partake together, and we'll do so after they're done distributing, okay? So let's be in a state of prayerful meditation as they distribute the bread. The Apostle Paul tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And let's remember the Lord as we take this together. What a wonderful Savior that we have, that he would give himself for us. We ought to remember him every opportunity that we have. I'm going to ask the men to be seated at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Pritchett to come and read the next scripture for us, and then we'll distribute the juice here in just a moment. But before we do, I've asked Brother Pritchett to come and read Hebrews chapter 9 for us, right from the pulpit, if you would please, Brother Pritchett. And this one, of course, speaks of the necessity of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for us. So let's follow along or pay close attention as Brother Pritchett reads this.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, which was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which, had the golden censer, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, and wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest, alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Thank you, Brother Pritchett. I appreciate that. I certainly don't know of better words that could be said right before we partake of the juice together. I'm going to ask the men to come again. We'll do the same with the juice that we did with the bread. We'll hold on to it, partake together. And so if you would do that, thank you. Very good. And again, as we await everyone being prepared and ready to partake of the juice together, we'll be in a state of prayerful meditation, and we'll partake together. So hold on to it if you would. Okay.
Thank you.
Again, the Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus, after the same manner, also took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And let's remember the Lord as we partake of this juice together. I'm going to ask Brother Arnold, if he would, to take just a moment and thank the Lord Jesus for giving his blood for us, if you would, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for that, and help us to live for you, and help us to always be thankful and never forget.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. The men are going to retrieve the cups at this time. I appreciate Brother Steve being willing to help out as Brother Danny's working tonight, but I'm sure thankful for that. The Bible does say that after the Lord had instituted that supper that first time, that afterwards they sung a hymn, the Bible says. And so I would like us to sing a hymn, and I'll go ahead and lead it, but it's hymn number 202 in your hymnals. So I would ask you to stand. We're going to sing hymn 202. And I think this is a great hymn to sing as we kind of close out this service where we remember our Lord Jesus. The first verse says, "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free." Think about the words as we sing this hymn.
Singing this evening. Thank you so much for that. And let me encourage you to drive home safe. I know some of you probably have some things to take care of tonight as far as practicing for music or whatever, but with the storm coming, it might be wise to get home quicker than normal and not driving faster than normal, but leaving earlier than normal is what I mean by that. All right, so keep that in mind. Be safe. And Lord willing, we will see you on Sunday. Don't forget, no Sunday school, but 10:30 is our regular service, and we'll have a good time together. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Taylor to close us in a word of prayer. Once he's done praying, then you are dismissed. God bless you, and have a great evening. All right, Brother Taylor.
Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you for the gift that you gave us of communion. Lord, it's a sacred time. Thank you that we can partake of that as a church. Lord, help us to never forget what you did for us. And Lord, during this Christmas, as we celebrate your birth, which foreshadowed your death, thank you, Lord, that we can be here tonight. I pray, Lord, as we gather with family and friends over the next few days, that we would be a testimony of the good things that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you are the only reason for the season.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you would give us traveling mercies as we go home. Lord, may you watch over us and help us, Lord, just to be in a spirit of thankfulness all week long. Bring us back together again on Sunday. Lord, we just love you so much. Help us to love you more. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.